Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Developed Performance Solutions. Welcome back from Management Accelerate. If you were at a last week, I was, and I'll be talking about the three full days, plus another day or so on either side. I'm here with Leah McHugh, who was not in attendance in Seattle, but this is my opportunity to update her, not just you.
Haven't really talked about it.
Well, since I just got back yesterday, I tend to spend, I don't know, a week on either side of the conference, if possible, so I can do meetings before Accelerate, which makes Accelerate more fruitful when you're doing it, or so I can do things afterwards. Typically, the week after is a good time to follow up on discussions you had, whether they were at the Seller Cafe or in person with senior management, whatever might be going on. As you can imagine, I had a host of issues to address. What was different this year? Maybe I can get this part out of the way early. Seller Cafe was managed in a very different way in order to make an appointment and to sit with account health reps or managers. In my particular case, you had to either be there in person with the brand, or I think they wanted you to be listed in the user permissions on all those accounts, something that was not really given up front, and they were kind of cobbling that together as they went. But
yeah, and I also heard they were revoking people's invitation to Accelerate if their account had been suspended.
Yeah, maybe I should address that part first. And a bunch of people who were suspended, you know, whether or not they're working with us currently, they knew I was going to be at Seller Cafe because of all my posts on LinkedIn, and we mentioned it before in the podcast. So I kind of had an armful of merchant IDs. I'm still talking to some people in account health. Obviously, if you show up with a laundry list of accounts and problems, it's going to take time to sort that out. Their SLA on it is at least, you know, 7 to 14 days. So, I mean, it's still within that range now, but we'll see what we can get from those conversations. What ended up happening was I was sort of giving overall general feedback a lot of the time on just how the process works. They like to say, talk to us about how the process can be improved or how it broke down in certain instances, which we've got armfuls of discussions like that we can have. But the bottom line is the key takeaways I got, to boil it down, despite 90 minutes or so of discussion with them, was they're trying to get to a point where they can give you better info about why an appeal is denied. That's a number one here. They're aware of the generic messaging that people get, the boilerplate responses when you appeal, which I'll get to in a minute, from other people I talked to at Accelerate. But in terms of Seller Cafe, and that gets you to account health reps, and their take on it is, yes, they're aware of that. Yes, they're working to improve that. Their feedback on seller conversations I thought was interesting. I mean, we give feedback on account health all the time on here, and most people listening to this podcast have heard it. But what I thought was interesting was that when I was sort of complaining, hey, you can call in six times, you can get three opinions that say this and then three opinions that say the opposite, right? The account health teams are inconsistent amongst themselves. I don't know if I was expecting this answer. Maybe I should have, but they were kind of like, well, also, unless you're personally listening in on all six of these calls, and I said, no, generally not that often, they said that sellers are changing their stories a bunch of times when they call in. I take that to mean maybe sellers are focusing on different parts of the appeal or different parts of the problem. I don't know if that's changing their minds or changing their stories, but there is probably plenty of people out there who are being inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm sure that does happen, but also does account health, are they not able to see what has been submitted? Shouldn't they be basing it off of that? like not what the person is saying on the call.
Well, if people are going to complain, whether it's me or sellers, if people are going to complain about mixing and matching different types of guidance, and I think I was pretty clear about it in person. I was saying, look, we're not talking about modest modifications here. We're talking about night and day differences in the guidance, which I tried to drive home the notion that people are basing entire appeals on that guidance. And if it's wrong or mismatched or faulty,
well, they're being told to base an entire appeal on that.
Right. And so we had some of that, you know, bumping heads on the, should you base your entire appeal? I think they would say base some of your appeal on that guidance, not all of it, number one. Number two, they know that you might get a call here or there that isn't that useful. I think they know you're going to keep calling back. I mean, from their side, their job is to reduce. What they told me is that they spend a certain amount of time figuring out why were there 5 or 6 or 7 calls to account health when maybe there could have been 2, like reduction of contact points.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually something that I feel like we've been talking about for a long time, because I've always been sort of surprised how little Amazon seems to care about reducing number of contacts.
Right.
Like, I would have think it would be better for them in terms of number of staff that they need and in terms of how much money they're spending on this, to reduce how many times people have to call account health, to reduce how many times people have to submit appeals.
And that's never really
seemed to be something that they were looking at the data on. So it's good to hear that they are finally looking at that, because yes, it is good for sellers, but Amazon's interested in what's good for them. And I would think that it would also
help
them to reduce this friction.
I mean, they did make a point of saying a lot of sellers misunderstand. You're not talking to the decision maker. You're talking to guides and suggestions and appeal reviews and comments is what, not what people want, but that's what you can expect. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like assured them like, no, I think, well, first of all, I think a lot of sellers understand that now. Maybe they didn't 2 years ago, but they do get it now.
Yeah.
And secondly, we're always talking about that. Like, you don't call and talk to somebody who's making a decision on your appeal.
Right.
And then because appeals are rejected with the generic messaging, maybe I'll segue into that piece, that puts them kind of back on their heels a bit, because they can sometimes maybe see why you're rejected, but they can't tell you. That's a big pain point. They're not allowed to share as much info as they would like. So don't take it out on the account health rep. You know, your ire, if you have any, needs to be focused on someone else, which is the decision maker on the
appeal. And in fairness to them, half the time, from what I've been told, half the time there aren't even notes as to why it was rejected.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about what they can see or can't see, because they don't want to get into that for obvious reasons. But I think they're willing to acknowledge and they understand that there's some threadbare info that might indicate the appeal wasn't reviewed. It seemed like they thought it was interesting when I said, hey, I think most appeals are destined to be denied no matter what they say. I mean, that's something I say frequently.
No, I agree.
I don't know what they thought about that. But the bottom line is, if you know you can just repeatedly deny appeals and there's almost no accountability for the denials, which accountability would be Amazon's telling you why it was denied. That is a form of accountability.
Right.
Until that day, I'm assuming most appeals, there isn't much backtracking in terms of, did the investigator read it? Did they document in account annotations why they're rejected?
I mean, from what we've seen and from what we have been told, they are judged on speed and they are judged on not reinstating people who shouldn't have been reinstated. So that really does incentivize them to just deny as much as possible, because you can quickly deny somebody if you don't have to give a reason for the denial.
Well,
you're going to get in trouble if you just deny everybody.
I know it's been years since I worked there, but if I failed to reinstate somebody that should have been reinstated, I was accountable for that. And in my one-on-ones with my boss, I occasionally had comments and notes given to me like, well, looks like this could have been, you know, we could have had this person up and running a week earlier. Maybe I was too hard on them, right?
Yeah. I think that should be being tracked, because again, from an efficiency standpoint, if you can do something in a single touch point instead of 10 appeals, then certainly that's better for Amazon's teams and Amazon's efficiencies as well.
Yeah. So getting into the boilerplate messaging and getting away from Seller's Cafe a little bit, because there were some logistical bits that I think will be better next year. Hopefully will be less frustrating next year, but that's account health. I also had some sit downs with some pretty knowledgeable, I don't know if I'd say powerful people, I guess they are powerful, but executive level people, VPs, and went over some of these frustrations in terms of why isn't decision-making so inconsistent? Is the messaging going to continue to be just blanket? You haven't sent us enough information. You haven't sent us the right information without any clue or inkling as to why it's not enough or why it's not right. You know, we can do positives, negatives. The positives are those people understand the frustration that sellers have and not just saying it like, I empathize with your problem. They are frustrated too, because they know they're getting more escalation emails as a result.
Yeah.
So it's filling up their inboxes. They've read the language.
That has been my strategy. I'm like, eventually these people will get annoyed from getting these escalations and they'll actually fix the problem.
All right, let me walk back a part of that. They're not all getting tons of emails all the time. Some of them were, some of them weren't, because some of them are just better known people out in the world. Yeah. And a couple of the VPs I talked to are just lesser known. I mean, I don't want to say it that way, but they're not as well known.
But they're not like publicly known.
And I wasn't sure what I was going to get out of those conversations, but they were pretty keyed in and clued in on this stuff. So they must be getting them sometimes, but they're aware of all this stuff. So there's no lack of awareness. That's kind of good news, I guess. And they are interested in solving some of these broken process problems. And they do agree, maybe they won't state it publicly, but they will privately agree that the messaging just doesn't say enough, isn't helpful. It's too copy and paste.
In the case of medical devices, is just straight up incorrect.
Or some of it's saying, well, I don't know how much we talked about how the message is totally wrong. I did say that a lot of sellers are getting the wrong response. Like they appeal and then the message they get is just a copy of the original notification.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
That's or just the wrong topic.
Or just like completely different.
Like you violated our listing rules and it was like a review manipulation suspension. Right. Like just the
which
wrong
I
thing.
Always just assume is like a user error because I assume they have a drop down with templates. And
right. Well, I mean, I think we all agree it's like a right click or a user
error. It's very confusing though for a user who is not used to this.
Or like your whole account suspended and they say, don't worry about it. That violation will drop off in 180 days. It's just like long. So we talked about that a little bit, but that's more straightforward. I am interested in hearing more about because we've got use cases, we can show them whatever they want with client permission, of course, but they're interested in looking at the kind of what's going wrong here. They're interested in figuring out the abuse stuff. They know a lot of sellers are just trying to knock each other off. Mm-hmm. I think they've made some progress in terms of taking action on those things. 2 years ago, we were sort of in the wilderness of open a case, make a internal ticket with your account manager, whatever. But I think we've gotten progress there. I did have conversations about elevated abuse reporting, but identifying bad actors. And of course, I think big picture, Amazon's not just worried about your one account. They want to see the big picture of who's paying what service to break Amazon policies, who's paying what service to attack a competitor, or who's paying.
You can be your guy and you might get
Right. Let's get the trafficker, not the street dealer. Mm-hmm. No, but the concept of, going back to review manipulation suspensions, a lot of that is about just naming names and putting service consult, companies, services, whatever, third parties, providers, I guess, into their hands so that they can do their own investigations of those people. So, which maybe gets me to another point about closing the loop on review manipulation appeals and suspensions, which were rampant all summer and are still getting hammered out now. Anyone who's holding back info, they kind of said, look, we can tell you're holding back info. If you're going to dispute it, you need smoking gun evidence. You need clear cut, like show us we're wronged in a way that we agree within 5-10 seconds that this is botched internally. And the good news is, if that's what you have, you should get reinstated relatively soon. And you can be on your way. Everyone else needs to do some admitting and acknowledging. It doesn't sound like they really believe that too many people were flagged for reviews abuse who weren't breaking product review solicitation policies. And there's always the finessing of it in the appeal process. Well, am I acknowledging it? Well, you don't acknowledge things that you never did. Obviously, you don't say you hired a third-party service if you never did it. But you have to present the methodology, and that all has to be detailed and specific. They kind of complained a lot of these appeals are promises to do a better job or vague references to using a QR code the wrong way. It's like, you got to be super specific with dates. When did it start? When did it end? How many reviews? Okay. You don't know how many? Give us the review IDs for however many reviews that you've already identified on your side. And then maybe try to point us in the direction for the rest of them. So that was interesting. And it's just, again, it's interesting to hear high-level Amazonians talk about sellers and kind of like, we already know what we need to do a better job of. I think they know without us constantly talking about it, what needs to be improved. just based on the emails and the complaints and what people put on LinkedIn. It's also just sellers need to think about improving communication. I did get a few people saying we're drowning in ChatGPT stuff. And of course, well, they're using tools to decipher like who's using ChatGPT for appeals, also, but it's often
very obvious even without the tool.
I mean, it's obvious to us because we're getting it from sellers and clients. Yes. It's obvious to them, but they're also using some sort of, you know, and if you're out there listening and you know what I'm talking about and you have a better grasp on which tool, which software than I do, I'm in your debt.
There's more than one. They could be, I mean, Amazon might even have their own, but there's plenty of tools out there too.
But I mean, like how it works. I mean, like the dynamics of it. I mean, I can't get into the weeds on that, but long story short, you're handing them a reason to skip you. They don't waste time on that stuff.
And also, if they need specifics, a ChatGPT generated template is not going to be giving them specifics anyway.
No.
Even if it isn't obvious that it's AI and their tool doesn't catch it, it's still not going to give what they need.
Yep. It's something that I think they're aware it's going to be around. It's not unrealistic, you know, to think that there might be some elements like that used when you put some of this stuff together. But if you're just scraping the internet looking for appeal content, it's the same outcome as all the generic appeal boilerplate, canned responses, canned templates, all the stuff that we complained about the last few years about how worthless that stuff is. It's the same thing. They're just not, they're like, yeah, we can tell. We don't read those things.
Same.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, maybe in the future, your bot will talk to their bot and that's how appeals will work, but we're not there yet. I don't know. I'm kind of curious. Did you, in the course of the week, since I wasn't checking in with you as much, did you see any interesting LinkedIn posts about Accelerate in terms of like positives, negatives? Because I'm laser focused on the appeals and suspension stuff.
So I don't really spend the most time on LinkedIn. I was writing appeals.
Right.
So I did not really see that much. I did, you know, when I check it, I did see that there were a lot of posts about Accelerate, but I wasn't really spending that much time.
AI seller assistant.
I mean, I saw that they're getting rid of Commingled, which is good and long overdue. I actually was surprised how many sellers were happy about that, though, because in general, when I tell sellers not to use Commingled, they don't like that I've told them that. But I'm glad they're getting rid of it because it caused a lot of problems for a lot of people. And then, the seller assist. But I mean, not to diss on Accelerate, but every single year they make some big announcement that everyone's excited about. Well, and 9 times out of 10, it never happens.
I mean, I think people are interested. I went to the AI use in account health presentation, and then there's seller assistant. I mean, you can look up, you know, on LinkedIn, there's many posts about these things. Essentially, they were kind of trying to build into their AI, telling you why an appeal is rejected, giving you a bit more info about more info they need or just why appeals are rejected. But
yeah, and that's, you know, useful to a degree, I'm sure. Yeah. It's better than nothing.
Well, I'll leave you with this because we're already kind of over time. We're seeing that they're interested in helping you interpret the account health dashboard. The biggest takeaway I got from the presentation, the breakout session I went to, was they're going to help you kind of clear away some noise and focus on what's the biggest threat, the biggest impact to your account health in your dashboard. So it's not just a bunch of ones and zeros anymore, or tens and zeros. It's going to be like more interpretation, not just like, here it all is, you go figure out what it means.
Well, so we'll see. With restricted products, it says it has no impact on your account health. And then the next day your account is suspended.
Yeah. And I know by the time you hear this, I mean, even if you were in Seattle for Accelerate, some of this might feel old and dated in our every day's a new day culture with online posting. But we may revisit some of these topics. I want to just put that out there that some of these stories are still developing. Some of it's still unfolding. Some of the discussions I had in Seller Cafe are ongoing. And they do have a 14-day SLA. I keep forgetting what that is. They are going to come back. We'll be able to interpret results a little bit later. It's going to be maybe in October, not necessarily in September. So there's that. We may allude to, you know, without doing let's talk about Accelerate as if it's old news. I mean, this will be new news, number one. And number two, you know, it's about networking, not just with other sellers. I know there's a heavy emphasis on going to events and networking with other sellers, but that's events where you don't have tons of Amazon people there that you can go to directly or network with. So this time around, I was able to network more with Amazonians. Thanks for listening in, everybody. If you want to accelerate, you want to give us your stories, let us know. And we will catch you next time.